The nation is in trouble. Conservative speech has never faced such a historically damaging and challenging moment. And I would argue it's not just conservatives that are at risk right now. It is the entire country. Because if we allow our government to have control over our speech, I'll tell you what, it is game over. Coming up, I'm looking at the administration's newest effort to control the narrative, the damage control and spin they were out trying to perform over the weekend, and new developments concerning the woman who's going to be in charge of this whole thing. Plus, wow, Boris Johnson went to Ukraine. Angelina Jolie went to Ukraine. Anthony Blinken went. The Secretary of Defense, Lloyd Austin, went. And now we have learned that even Nancy Pelosi visited Ukraine over the weekend. So why the heck won't President Joe Biden go to Ukraine? We're going to discuss. We're on it. And oh, my goodness, these inflation numbers. Food prices are soaring. The farmer price index is up 31% compared to this time last year. Can the Fed get this one under control? We're talking to Charles Thorngren. He is the CEO of Legacy Precious Metals. He's going to explain just exactly how gold might protect your investments over the long term. It is the ultimate inflation hedge. Welcome, everyone, to the Trish Regan Show. So good to have you here. I am Trish. A quick reminder to make sure that you have subscribed to this channel. It's really, really important. Subscribe to it. Get the alerts. It matters right now. We begin the show on the importance of freedom and the importance of our First Amendment. News today that our government is moving forward with its so-called disinformation board. The name itself, of course, is kind of a public relations disaster. Disinformation board, government disinformation board. Come on, guys. I mean, you couldn't do better than that. You know, I find it alarming. I find it alarming as an independent journalist who, by the way, spent the last 20 years working for some of the biggest news organizations in the world, from Bloomberg to CNBC to Fox Business. I have won many awards for my in-depth and investigative reporting. And while I've certainly always been aware of the bias out there in mainstream media outlets, I've still always believed and thought that as an American, I am entitled to my opinion. And I'm entitled to share my opinion with you on every single street corner anywhere in this country. And whether the New York Times wants to publish it, that's something different. After all, the New York Times is a publisher, a private company. But Twitter, some of these other big tech platforms, I mean, if they wanted to act like publishers, then hey, go for it. They should be subject to all the exact same rules as me, as a publisher, should they not? But one of the reasons people are so concerned about all this right now, about Twitter or Facebook or YouTube or any of these platforms, is because these venues have effectively become the de facto street corners all around America, the town squares, if you would. And yet they adhere to no publishing rules. And yet they act like publishers, right? Deciding what you can see, what you can't see. Well, now it's going to get worse because not only are they deciding this, you're also going to have the government in there telling them what they can publish and what they can't. I mean, come on. I should point out that for whatever reason, and if you're conservative, you've probably experienced this, but for whatever reason, liberal speech, including even totally inappropriate, highly inappropriate liberal speech, much of which is actually directed at kids, and I've seen it. I've seen it myself. It's actually tolerated on these platforms. You know, you ought to see the junk that's out there. It's disturbing what they're targeting at America's youth, and yet that's allowed. There has been some terrific reporting, by the way, in the Wall Street Journal on this, and I encourage you to look at that. But I've seen this junk myself, and it's bad, and it's inappropriate, and it's completely insensitive. And yet, the minute I start talking about inflation or the increasing yield on the 10-year Treasury note, guess what? Big tech, in this case, YouTube, tells me my content is, quote, sensitive material. And when I go back to them and I explain, you know what, it's really not sensitive because there's a difference, shall we say, between discussing Federal Reserve policy and actually sensitive material, per their own definition, right? They say, well, actually, it's misleading. It's misleading content. You see, that's pathetic. That's pathetic. And I will continue telling you the truth about this economy and inflation, no matter what big tech wants me to say. I suppose they're concerned, right? Because this is going to reflect badly on the administration, given that we have so much inflation in this economy. Or maybe they're saying it's wrong because we all need to blame Putin for the inflation we now have. I've pointed out over and over again, you can blame Putin for part of it, certainly in the future, but a lot of the inflation we're dealing with right now in the here and now, these are lagging indicators, right? A lot of that is courtesy of ourselves. We've brought a lot of this on ourselves by printing so much money and giving out so many COVID stimulus checks. I mean, come on, guys, you can only print so much before it catches up with you. But we've got plenty of other problems, believe me, on the inflation front as well. And that's going to be hitting us all. Anyway, the Secretary of Homeland Security, he wants, you see, to take this censorship a whole lot further than anything you're seeing with big tech. He wants to probably censor big tech. He wants to create a government board to decide what information is okay, what isn't okay. And they want this information governance board, disinformation, to be able to combat any speech that they don't think is right. Now, obviously, people are upset. And so Alejandro Mayorkas, head of DHS, took to the airwaves over the weekend to do a little damage control. He's now promising that his newly formed disinformation board will be absolutely neutral. Yeah, I'll believe that one when I see it. I mean, how can it possibly be neutral when, in fact, they've admitted it's targeting Hispanics whom the administration believes are at risk for campaign disinformation? Apparently, it's just disinformation that's coming from China or Russia or any of those places. I mean, how can this be neutral when he's appointed a woman who actually pushed a whole bunch of untrue narratives because at the time, it's what the administration wanted you to think? I mean, Homeland Security Secretary Alejandro Mayorkas said, quote, there's no question he could have more effectively communicated the purposes of his newly created disinformation board. This is after critics framed it as a crackdown on free speech. I'm not sure how it isn't still. I mean, I remain unconvinced, but he was on Fox over the weekend saying he really meant disinformation from Russia, from China, from Iran, from the cartels. And he also said that Nina Jankowicz, remember the woman who's going to be in charge of this whole thing, will absolutely be neutral and is a, quote, renowned expert on the field of disinformation. I'm sorry, but if she's an expert on disinformation, then what was she doing pushing disinformation herself, or at least information that eventually was proven wrong, right? I mean, it was information, I suppose, that the administration wanted you to have, and therefore anything that was different was disinformation. You see how slippery a slope this becomes. I mean, considering, you know, again, this woman has a history, I should say, of touting anything the administration fed her, regardless of whether or not it was true. Let's go back to March of 2020. Jankowicz tweeted a post from somebody who used to work at Facebook, and he was talking about the integrity of Facebook. And at the time, Facebook had announced that the company was giving the World Health Organization, WHO, free ads to help manage this whole crisis because people were panicking and everyone was out there trying to buy masks, but you couldn't find any masks. And so we remember, of course, what Dr. Anthony Fauci had to say to 60 Minutes and to the doctor that was interviewing him and saying, you know, you didn't really need a mask. It wouldn't really make a difference. Well, she wrote in response to the Facebook guy, quote, this is good. Now hope the rest of the ad tech industry stops placing ads for masks and worse, straight up disinformation on articles and info about coronavirus. So again, she's touting the opinion that was the opinion du jour at the time of Fauci and other health leaders who were advising Americans not to wear masks. We later learned that one of the reasons he said that, which frankly was disinformation, because we've now learned that, oh, the masks are supposed to help you. But Fauci didn't want you to know that at the time because he was concerned there wouldn't be enough protective equipment for frontline healthcare workers. So this is a woman who repeatedly called into question the legitimacy of Hunter Biden's laptop story as well, which has now been confirmed by the New York Times and the Washington Post. So one has to wonder if the government is trying to control, quote unquote, disinformation, would they have prevented that story altogether from coming out? You see, how slippery a slope this is. You see how dangerous this is. You see how it puts the entire country at risk. Because I will tell you this, in all my years of reporting, there's one thing I've learned. Countries that trust the system the most are the most transparent countries. In other words, speech is allowed. But when you go to places like Russia today, or the former Soviet Union, or China, or North Korea, where speech is not allowed, and the government is clamping down on speech, then you got yourself a problem. So this whole idea is really, really dubious, in my opinion, and it is my opinion, and I am allowed to express my opinion. Still, anyway. Let's turn to another story. I want to know why everyone's going to Ukraine but the president. I mean, they've all been there, right? Blinken, Angelina Jolie, even Nancy Pelosi. She braved the trip. Let me share with you, per the AP, Pelosi, who is second in line to the presidency after the vice president, just became the most senior American lawmaker to visit Ukraine since Russia's war began more than 2 months ago. Pelosi and the half dozen U.S. lawmakers with her met with Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky and his top aides for 3 hours on Saturday to show and voice their support. Well, good for her. You know what? I rarely say this, you know, about Nancy Pelosi because I generally am not a tremendous fan, but good for her for going. That took courage. And I'm sure, especially at her age, and I say age with, you know, no age bias here, but it is just a reality, right? Because as you get older, it gets harder. So at her age, she went over there. She risked her life. She went there and did that. And they were able to protect her, as they were Blinken, as they were Austin. So what about the president? What about the vice president? Why aren't we sending anybody that's higher up like that? I think at some point he's going to have to go. And I just wonder why that's being put off. I don't know the answer to that. I mean, there's speculation, of course, you know, about how he's doing given his own age. But there's probably also some concerns, some security concerns that may be quite real. So I just throw that out there and think about this. Nancy Pelosi went, but the president still has not gone. All right, turning to inflation. The Fed is meeting this week, and I've got another inflation indicator to tell you about. Food prices are soaring. The farmer price index up 31% compared to March 2021. Wow. I mean, that's a heck of an increase over the last year. This is according to the Department of Agriculture, which reported that its index of prices received by U.S. farmers increased 6.3% from February and 31% from March 2021. So you can see we've got a bit of an issue, shall we say. The index tracks prices paid by initial buyers from U.S. farms. It's the first step of the food production chain in the U.S. So not good. Amid all this inflation, people are asking, what's next for the stock market? We've seen a lot of volatility in recent days, and heading into the Fed's big meeting, where it looks like they're going to raise rates by a pretty significant amount, people are wondering, can the markets hold up? Are we heading for recession? To help answer some of those questions, I'm so glad to have back on the program today Charles Thorngren, the CEO of Legacy Precious Metals. Charles, good to see you.
It's great to be here. Thanks, Trish.
Well, it's a big week. And people are expecting that they're going to hike rates by 50 basis points. What's your sense of what's going on?
Oh, they absolutely have to.
Yeah.
You know, you look at what's going on, and the Fed is so far behind on dealing with this inflation that these are the steps they have to take. If they had the courage, they'd go up a full basis point.
Wow.
But they won't.
Well, yeah. They're trying to do it in stages, right? A little bit here, a little bit there. If they had the courage, perhaps, Charles, they would have done this ages ago, would they not?
Huh? A decade ago, yeah. A decade ago would have been good.
Yeah, no, it's taken a bit of time. And as I like to say, a day late, dollar short, or as Art Laffer said to me recently, you know, who's the architect of some of Reagan's economic policies, a day late or a century late and a trillion dollars short. Or in this case, it's been $1 trillion too much. Okay, so we're looking at a half basis point hike. What is that, in your view, going to mean for the overall economy, which, let's face it, is stumbling into some pretty uncharted territory where prices are going up and economic growth is slowing?
A half a point means nothing. It does nothing. That's the reality. It doesn't help our economy in the least bit. We need to be significantly higher to fight inflation, right? A half point here, a quarter point there. 10 raises over the next year and a half, 2 years, that's far too late. What we need to do is to get ahead of it. And we can't do that because the Federal Reserve is so worried about the stock market that they can't take the steps they need to.
You know, we've seen a lot of investment banks come out just recently. Deutsche Bank, Goldman Sachs, they're all warning of recession. And, you know, I wonder how much that factors into the Federal Reserve's thinking. It's not supposed to, of course. They're not supposed to look at what the market's doing. But when you've got all the big banks saying, wait a second, you know, this is not looking good, and you've got the market selling off or at least acting extremely volatile, do you think it actually factors into the decision making?
Absolutely. Absolutely. No one wants to be in charge of the reserve that destroyed people's savings, destroyed people's retirements. No one wants to be in charge of that administration. No one wants to be in charge of that Federal Reserve. But that's what we're looking at, you know. And the fact that we have investment banks jumping on board, they should have been listening to us months ago. We've been telling and we've been talking about this forever. And it's just a matter of everyone passing the buck. No one has the courage to do the right thing.
Yeah. No, I mean, realistically, right? It's easier to print. It's easier to say yes and just keep printing money until it's not, until you actually have a real problem. And I guess I would ask you, do you think that we're approaching that stage of a real problem?
I think we are. Mm-hmm. I think we are. We talked in the past about quantitative easing and then the quantitative tightening, which is amazing because those are both made up words. Mm-hmm. They didn't exist up until, 10 years ago. The quantitative tightening didn't happen. When they raised 0.25%, everyone freaked out. The market shuddered. And right away, Chairman came out and said, well, we're going to let these roll off the balance sheet. So that means the Federal Reserve is carrying massive debt still. They're not taking any actions to stop the debt or reduce it. They're going to let it roll off. Now, this is in terms of some of these 10-year bonds that didn't get bought. Mm-hmm. They're in that debt for 10 years.
Yeah.
That puts the Federal Reserve behind the eight ball so bad that they're going to take other steps. And you know, the dollar strengthening now that's bad for the economy also, right? When you have the best currency of the bad bunch.
Right, because everything's that much more expensive, sure.
Absolutely. So we're fighting inflation, a strong dollar, and a bloated balance sheet. There's chance of a soft landing.
Which is why, I mean, you and I are on the same page on this, because I think that investors need to diversify. They need to actually plan ahead. And your company specializes in this. So obviously you're a big advocate of this. But what is it that people can do in terms of investing in gold, getting a gold-backed IRA to hopefully even out this inflation? Because the reality is, I think we're going to be living with this for a while. I'd like to think, you know, they can pull it back, but I don't see it happening. I mean, every indication out there is that inflation is going to continue being an issue.
It absolutely is. We're taking baby steps for a monster problem, and that's just not going to work. There is zero chance of a soft landing, right?
So
recession is coming. You diversify in metals. You diversify in tangible assets. That's really what you need to do. Give us a call. I mean, you're probably looking at your best prices for metals for the next 6 to 7 years right now.
I'm looking at it today anyway. And, you know, the other day it was a little bit higher, but it moves around a bit as the market does in general, but we're looking at roughly 1800 and change. And there are calls for gold to be $2,500. I know you don't like to speculate on the actual price, but I think just what you're saying is that the overall trend is showing you gold isn't going down, right? I mean, we're printing money. We're going to continue printing money. And even if we don't, we've got a lot of money that's out there already printed. We've got massive debt loads. The sort of overall fiscal health of the nation, I think, is in a precarious position, which means the value of the dollar theoretically then should be challenged over time.
Absolutely. And, you know, listen, Russia and China have been challenging the dollar for quite some time now, and they're still challenging it.
Yeah.
You know, interestingly enough, Mexico is against the dollar being the reserve currency.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, that's a whole other can of worms. I would say in this environment, look, I would still prefer dollars over yuan and certainly over euros. So, but that's out there. You know, that's something that's been talked about. And I think, you know, smart investors probably need to plan for over the next, who knows, you know, generation, because it's out there and it's not going away. And I think a lot of countries have figured out that they don't like, right, having to be holden, so to speak, to that US dollar. Bringing us back to, I think, the importance of precious metals, gold and silver. I know that you can get a gold-backed IRA there at legacypminvestments.com, and I encourage people to go and check it out because you've got a great guide. I've looked at it myself that they can download to help people navigate this space. But whether it's a gold-backed IRA, buying the actual gold or silver themselves, what do you suggest people really do? I suppose it depends on your appetite for whether you want it in your basement or whether you want that gold-backed IRA.
Absolutely. And part of it, too, is it depends where your wealth is at. If it's all in your IRA, that makes the most sense. We do have a lot of people that will move portions of their IRA and then also get some for their home because they have cash in a savings account, mm-hmm. which we know is not doing anything right now. Mm-hmm. So it really depends on your situation. But give us a call and we'll work out all the details and show you the options. That's the yeah. great thing.
Well, I should point out that one of our listeners, one of our viewers called you guys the other day and had a wonderful conversation with one of your representatives. And I've said, they've heard me over and over on the show, call these guys because they're good friends of mine. They'll take really good care of you. And I know you guys do take care of all your investors. I think it's sometimes a little bit overwhelming for people and it's a little bit complex, but just having a portion of your portfolio that is backed in hard assets like that, like gold, I think is an important thing to do. Anyway, any other advice you can give us as we head now into the Federal Reserve's meeting, the expectation for a hike of 50 basis points. So interest rates keep going up, yet prices keep going up. It's this really weird, you know, return to the 1970s, it feels like, Charles. Your
right.
thoughts?
And it's worse than that. We have interest rates going up, prices going up. We also have the economy slowing down.
Yeah.
This is the worst of all the situations. So I would say be prepared to see drastic reductions in your equities markets and even some of your bond markets. You're going to have a scenario now where people don't step out because they're going to wait. They're going to chase returns. And who wants to lock up a 10-year note when you're losing premium on it to try to get out of it and get into something better? Doesn't so make sense.
Be prepared. Massive downside in your view to come, both in the stock market and in the bond market. Think through everything. Listen, Charles, we so appreciate your time today. Thank you so much for coming on the program. Thank you for your advice. I do encourage people to go to Legacy Precious Metals, legacypminvestments.com. You can get more information from Charles there. Thank you so much, sir.
Thank you.
Just a reminder to all of you, you can call Legacy Precious Metals, as Charles said, 1-866-589-0560. Again, 1-866-589-0560, or go to legacypminvestments.com. It's important right now to diversify. I cannot say that enough. Anyway, I just want to say thank you for being here today. Thank you for subscribing. If you haven't subscribed, do make sure you do that and hit the little alarm bell so that you know when these shows come out every single day. It's wonderful, as I said, to have you here. You can follow me on Twitter at @Trish_Regan. Same thing on Instagram at @Trish_Regan. And I would love to have you. It would be a real privilege to have you over on my Locals channel at trishregan.locals.com. And I'll see you right back here tomorrow.